Revelation chapter 3, and I want us to look at the last two verses in chapter 3. To him that overcometh I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as also I overcame, and I'm set down with my Father in his throne. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. These were actual churches. They are representing churches throughout history. The Lord Jesus addresses each, in each one of these churches, of these seven churches, there is an attribute fitting of his that is for that particular church. The Lord Jesus evaluates, commends, encourages. The Lord Jesus reproves and rebukes, except the church in Smyrna and Philadelphia. Each congregation, you see, is exhorted to hear and to repent, and all of the congregations are exhorted to overcome. It was about 7 months ago that I preached a sermon. I believe it was the third church I believe it was the church in Thyatira where I did preach a sermon on overcoming. And I felt like that I must, as we come to the concluding remarks of these verses, and as we look at the churches together as a whole, that these comments are true about all of them, that he says, he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And then he's also saying to him that overcometh. How vital and important is this of overcoming? Christianity in the United States, there's very little said about that. Christianity in the United States is just embrace the Lord Jesus. All things will be good and you'll be on a path to eternity and all things will be well. When John writes to the book of Revelation, he describes himself. He said, I'm also a brother and a companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. I was in the Isle of that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Overcoming. No doubt we mean by that, and I believe the Lord Jesus means by that, there are difficulties that are entailed and they're involved in this walking and following him by faith. And I know this is that as we look at these churches, and we'll come back to that in just a minute, that each one of these churches were facing different barriers, obstacles, things that were thrown in their path. They would cause them to stop and to draw back and to stand still that walk of faith. Folks, and that's true about in every age, with every church, with every believer. When you come face to face with the Lord Jesus and you've embraced, the Lord has granted you, as David prayed this morning, the gift of faith. Folks, as soon as that's the case, trust me, things were going to be thrown in the machinery. Overcoming. What is there to overcome? Pastor, don't we believe? Once saved, always saved. Don't we believe eternal security? And I, the answer is yes, saved. Saving faith, you see, and saving faith is seen as it pursues and continues and to press forward. I want to just make very plain and clear is this. People are not overcoming and pressing forward in order to be saved, but because they are saved. But then at the same time, we're talking out of both sides of our mouths, aren't we? That on one hand, that when we, and what a marvelous thing it is for Christians that we sing. I was thinking it's a couple of songs, and I have to sit down, and I'm glad nobody's listening to me in my study down in the basement. I have a phrase come to my mind, and I say, man, that's a great hymn, I can quote that, and I can only remember three words. And then it's the overcoming process. Then I start, I found a friend. then it's all to me. And then I think the refrain says, for I'm saved, saved, saved. Is that right? Okay. I mean, we sing that. We get, and that's a glorious truth in it. Then there's another one that I was overcoming and persevering and trying to get all of the words. I guess I could have Googled it. But you know, if there's a limitation, what all you want to Google if all you've got is two words. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God. I'm not sure whether I've got these words right, because I was singing it, and I put two stanzas together, I don't know, of God, filled with His goodness, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Amen. Okay. Well, those are great songs, aren't they? And the Word of God would tell us very plainly and clearly, and I want to just present both sides of this coin of the fact of the truth of the Scriptures, who and what we are. We say, Southern Baptists, we say, once saved, always saved. That's a kind of a, but we must realize that what does that mean? Saved. If you're truly saved, you're always saved. We're not just simply saying that you've made a profession of faith, or you have at one time said, I believe in Jesus, and you filled out a little card. But we mean by that, has the Holy Spirit laid hold of you and changed you, and you've been born from above, truly saved, you have the life of God. You are once saved, folks, always saved.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Listen to some of these great passages, and we need to mention them. And because you see, all of that must be, and that is really the energy and the fuel that keeps us moving to overcome and to overcome and to be victorious of all of the things that are thrown in our path that would cause us to be sidetracked from that prize and that goal that is to stand and to see the Lord Jesus face to face. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I will give unto them. Listen, there's no ifs, buts, and maybes here. I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. If this is all we had, if this is all we had for the fact that we believe that once saved, always saved, and the eternal security of the believer, if this is all we had in this 66 books of what we call God's Word, that would be plenty. It would be enough, wouldn't it? I mean, it would be enough. Bill, when you on Wednesday night, our song leader on Wednesday night, he leads us every Wednesday night, and I bless and I thank the Lord for him. Every Wednesday night, you know what we sing about mostly? We sing about heaven. And that's a grand thing, isn't it? Because you see, that's ultimately, you know, that's where we're going. That's what it's all about. It's kind of like the Olympians that we watched, you see, with the bobsleds and with the super G's and the downhills and with all of this stuff. You see, all they've got in mind is, they're not just simply I'm just glad to be here. There are some of them too, when you've got the bobsledders from Ethiopia, you know, that said, well, we're glad to be here. And he doesn't care when he's coming in 165th out of 165. And he's 5 minutes late and everybody else is already taken and cleaned off the place. He don't care. He just wants to participate. I got news for you. I was watching the four men bobsled thing last night. And I mean, between first and fourth or fifth place, it was several hundredths of a second that divided those people. And there was that rejoicing when the Americans, for the first time in 60 years, won a gold medal in a four-man bobsled. Now, folks, when they got up on that thing and up in that podium, and they played, you know, the national anthem, and they held their hands up on their hearts, and I know that, you see, that's what they came for. In order for that prize. Is that not our goal? Is that not the goal that we have? The goal of Christianity is not, you see, how rich and wealthy and how all of these things can we add to this present life that we don't know how long this life is, but the goal is this, is that we'll stand and see Him, the Savior who gave Himself for us, the one who laid down the life for the sheep. Paul writes to the Romans, and he says, Jack, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and them He called, them He also justified, and them He justified, them He maybe, possibly glorified. What did He do with them? And I want to tell you something. We're talking about the eternal, unchanging purposes of God that will stand. There is no one, nothing. There is no entity. There is no power. There is absolutely nothing that will say, what are you doing? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? There are those right now around the globe that are suffering and are laying down their lives for the cause of the Lord Jesus because they have raised the banner of the Lord Jesus high over their houses. There are those that have the sword or the gun pointed to their head and they say to them, deny the Lord Jesus. And they are there, you see, overcoming to say, how can I deny Him who has done me no ill and no wrong? How can I deny Him who loved me and gave Himself for me? How can I deny Him? You go right ahead and shoot, because if that's the case, I will see Him face to face. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. You know what? Well, I've never inherited nothing. I'm telling you, our family, we never owned nothing. We had no inheritances. Matter of fact, whatever inheritances we had, we ended up spending on the fact that to take care of the responsibilities that were there, you see. But I've got news for you. I am an heir, and I'm a joint heir with the Lord Jesus. Amen. And we're talking about the fact that there's no ifs, buts, and maybes. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. You say, how? Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Why? That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you have believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. I've got news for you. It's as good as done, isn't it? I mean, is this not incredible? He says we have obtained an inheritance, that we should be to the praise of the glory that we trusted in Christ, that you that believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. And I want you to know, this is not one of these operations that says, well, you know, let me give you some earnest money.
Yeah.
And I'm going to, you know, this is the down payment for that. And then a little bit later on, he turns around and says, well, I got to have my money back. It doesn't work that way. Listen to the confession of faith. I just want to say to you, if you don't have a Baptist faith and a confession, you need to get one. This is the statement that's adopted by the Southern Baptist Convention, June 14, 2000. By the way, I want to say here at this juncture, Baptists have always been a confessional people. Beginning with the Baptist Confession of 1648. The first London Confession of 1648. Then the Baptists followed the steps of the London Confession of Faith of 1689. And then we had the Philadelphia Confession of Faith. Then we had the New Hampshire Confession of Faith. And then we had the early Baptist Faith and Message. And I want you to get acquainted with the Baptist Faith and Message, because the Baptist Faith and Message is a reflection of what we believe and what we preach. Listen to what the confession says. All true believers endure to the end. Do you all hear that? But you noticed that it didn't say all true believers are on an easy path to come on at the end. It didn't say that all believers, all true believers, are on an expressway with cruise control, with air conditioning, and I mean a full tank with all of the comforts and a CD player, a DVD player in the back seat. It's entertaining us to all of the goods and we'll get on to the end. What is it saying? All true believers endure to the end.
Amen.
Yeah. Now there seems to be, you see, right here there seems to be on one hand, we just got through reading, the Lord Jesus died for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. The Father that gave me all of them, you see, I don't even lose nothing. I have them in my hands. They're in the Father's hand, we're in the Father one. And there seems to be a contradiction here, isn't it? Then on one hand, we know that we have been purchased. We belong to Him. There is the down payment that has been given in the Holy Spirit. There is an inheritance that is waiting for us. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. But on the other hand, we must be overcomers.
Amen.
Because I've got news for you. There are all kinds of obstacles and difficulties that are thrown out here in our paths. Obstacles, barriers, temptations, the world, the flesh, the devil, all of these are constantly assaulting us. Saving faith is seen in this, that it perseveres and it presses on. Did y'all hear me? You know, it's a wonderful thing. Wayne and Patty are with us this morning, and we've got Larry and Donna with us, and we've got Jake with us, Josh. And now, the reason I mention these people, not Jake and Josh, they're not that old, but we've known them ever since they were babies. So I guess you could say we've known each other all about that long. But one of the things that is so encouraging about following the Lord Jesus, that when you see the grace of the perseverance and the continuings, all true believers will endure to the end. Once saved, always saved. We must persevere, but we will persevere. And you see, that's the thing that's rejoicing here is this. When I see our good friends, and we're all getting a little bit older. I don't know about them. I know about them. I don't know about me. But we've known them for 30 years. Isn't that wonderful? There they are. Larry and Donna, I met them 20-some-odd years ago, and our paths crossed and passed, and we were separated for a number of years. And then at the same time, our paths crossed again. And then when we ask each other, where are you going? Well, we're going to the celestial city. Are you going? We're all going together. We're going to the celestial city. Okay, can you tell me what's happened to you? And that's right there we want to say, can we come over? Can we sit down and spend a little bit of time with each other? Let me just tell you what's happened in my life the last 10, 15 years. And you want to say, oh Lord, the grief and the hurt and the pain and the obstacles and the broken heart and the sins and the aggravations, the misunderstandings, the family members that have thrown things in the middle of it. And at the same time, we're pressing on. Yeah. When I look at these seven churches of Asia, you remember the Ephesus church. That here was the church that had lost her first love. They were going through the cold mechanics without the heart and the affections for the Savior. They were correct doctrinally, and in practice they were correct. And I consider that a great church. But then on the other hand, the Lord Jesus is saying to them, you have left your first love. And when I think about what the Lord Jesus is saying, go back to what you've done before. Repent and turn and repent, and that fire of love will be rekindling your heart. What an obstacle, you see. Is that not an obstacle and a hindrance to say that we are theologically correct, that we're as straight as a gun barrel, yet at the same time there is no love for the Savior? How do you illustrate that? Husband and wife. The husband provides everything for his wife, for the physical things. He does everything correctly, but there is not a penny's worth of love and affections. There is no love and heart for that. How terrible that is. The Lord Jesus is saying to the Ephesians, you need to overcome. Then on one hand, they were very jealous over the truth of the Scriptures. They followed through with church discipline. They had, you see, their eyes on the false teaching all around us. They identified all of the errors of that time and they acted upon it. But there was no love for the Savior. Calvary Baptist Church, as we're desirous for the truth of the Scriptures, we need to be a people that will guard one another and encourage each other. Is there the love for Christ? Do I love Christ? Is he my Savior that I love dearly? Think about the church in Smyrna. The church in Smyrna, here was a church that was persecuted. In their eyes, poor and tribulation and poverty, and the very fact that the things they stood for, they were imminently facing, you see, death. Can you imagine that the Lord Jesus is saying to this group, and He is not at all rebuking or reproving them, He is simply saying to them, you are rich, and you overcome, and He says, and you will, let me read it to you, because He says, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that you may be tried, and that you have tribulations 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. You want to say, I don't understand, Lord. Didn't you just got through saying nothing will separate us? And Lord, here we are. We're being faithful to you. And you're saying to us, we're potentially going to be losing our lives because of the faith. If that's not a testimony of the fact that what God has in mind for us in the future is a whole lot more, supersedes everything else that the eye can even conceive, and we can think upon what God has in mind for the new kingdom, the new heaven. How about the church in Pergamos? What are they overcoming? We're talking about the pagan culture all around. Exposed to all kinds of temptations, and they are as well being persecuted. You know, I don't know about you, but we can't. What are we doing with these churches in our day? What are we going to do with these churches in our day? So you all don't have it together. For some reason, you're just missing it. The Lord is saying, I want you to overcome. The Lord is saying to him that overcometh, I will give thee eat of the hidden manna, and I will give to him a white stone, and the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving that receiveth. What about the church in Thyatira? You talk about overcoming some things, some obstacles in Thyatira. You remember? This was the longest letter to all of the churches. And where do you start here with the church in Thyatira? I mean, what are the things that the believer in the church of Thyatira had to overcome? They looked around, and that church was tolerating sin within this framework of the church. I'm asking you. I'm asking you, is it easier to follow the Lord in godliness and righteousness when you have a band of believers that are on the same page and they say, hey, we need to go together? I'm asking, is it not? And when the standard is lowered, when the standard has been brought down and so low, and I mean people are saying, hey, I'm just like brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, and we're not going by the Word of God. I mean, what do we need to overcome when you're in a situation like that where sin and tolerating sin is all around us? I remember talking to one of my aunts one day there in Germany about one of my cousins. My cousin, they were living, they're living with each other in an ungodly, immoral relationship. And I said something to my aunt about it, and you know what my aunt said to me? Ah, oh, das ist modern. Ah, oh, das ist modern. Ah, oh, that's modern. Everybody does it. What do you think? I mean, think about what the church, those believers, if you had believers in Thyatira, what they had to overcome. On top of that, you see they had immoral behavior, spiritual and physical adultery. On top of that, they had Jezebel, apparently the pastor's wife, that was, you know, pulling him around by, and I mean, it's all kinds of ungodliness, and the Lord Jesus is saying, I want you to overcome. Do you all see how? Do you see how difficult it is? Then you've got the Sardis church. That's the dead church that was dead to sin. They had a reputation of being alive, but dead, going through the motions with no life. And what is the Lord Jesus saying to the believer? I want you to overcome. Overcome. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed with white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Then you had the Philadelphia church. You said, oh Lord, thank you. Finally, we've got a church here. The Lord Jesus, he neither rebukes or reproves this congregation. And he's saying, I know your works. I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and you've kept my word, and thou hast not denied my name. Man, what a great testimony. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. What an incredible testimony of a congregation. But I want to ask you, even in that particular, to this particular church, he says, him that overcometh I will make. To him that overcometh. What do you think, Calvary Baptist Church? Is it not a wonderful thing what the Lord has been doing here in our midst for the last year or two? Amen. Calvary, those of you that were Calvary members. Amen. Is it not a wonderful thing? Amen. Have we not been praying for, Lord, will you give a spiritual revival and a spiritual awakening in our community? Lord, will you? Lord, you're the one that builds the church. Lord, will you add to the church daily such as should be saved? Lord, will you do a work? And it has been wonderful to see how the Lord has brought to us families and children and the families that are interested in the Word of God and growing in Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. And I simply have to say, it is all of Him. He is the one that is doing it. He is opening the door. Now, I've got to be very careful here. And I got to be careful here is this. Is that there are those that would like to shut the door. And that we would constantly realize that there are difficulties connected with all of that. And that we would press on forward. And that we would not have the flesh get in the way. You know what I'm saying? The head falling off. What happened? Oh, the head fell off. How come it fell off? It got awful big. You know, that pride would take over and sin would come in. And we take the Lord Jesus and we forget that it is the Lord Jesus that's opening the door and that the Lord Jesus is doing the work. We must be very humble with that and say, Lord, will you, Lord, all the praise and glory and honor belongs to you. Lord, you're the one that must do. You are doing the work. And Lord, you keep us from the hour of temptation. Lord, but we are well aware of the fact what is in our own hearts. And we are well aware of the fact of the society that we live in, the thinking of the world and the mentality of the world and all that is that we're well aware of the fact that there is a real devil and a real Satan that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We're all aware of that. And Lord, we want to combat that with your word and that all of that we resist steadfast in the faith. And then we've got the Laodicean church. Oh my goodness. Here's the church, and we've spent, I think, 4 or 5 weeks on this church. How do we describe the Laodicean church? Self-sufficient, increased with goods, rich. They've got it all together. I mean, they've got it all. When you look at this group and you read this part, what they say about it, you want to say, you know, I've heard of the church in Laodicea, Shane, when we go through and make a trip to Asia, and we're going to pick out a church and we're going to go to church when these churches were actually existing. And we're going to go to the church. And I've heard, Brother Wayne, that the Laodicean church, they got a grand testimony. They're saying about themselves, we've got it all together. We're increased with goods. We're rich, we've got it all, and where we're going to go to church, we're going to go to church in Laodicea. We want to see that. We want to see what they're doing. You talk about the believer in the Laodicean church, what they have to overcome. What was the problem with the Laodicean church? Oh, how I love Jesus. Jesus was standing outside the door and he's knocking. He said, somebody let me in. What a terrible testimony. The Lord Jesus, in his love for this congregation, he's saying to this congregation, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him and he with me. And then he says, to him that overcometh. What are we facing when we look at this church and what was this church facing? And I think we could say the same thing. Is it not materialism? Aren't we facing some of the same things in our day? Where are we? And what are the things that would have the tendency to overcome us? Some of you don't know, but ever since I was a little boy, I've been a mechanic at heart. Somebody runs over a grandson's tricycle. The grandson says, don't worry about it. Papa, fix it. Papa, fix it. Heidi wrecks her little SLK Mercedes. Don't worry about it. Papa fix it. You know, I get a joy and a pleasure out of fixing things. I can't deny it. And I enjoy that. I don't fish and I don't hunt and I don't do none of that. I do enjoy. Some of you sometimes look at my hands and say, Pastor, how come your hands are so rough? Pastor, you don't have them preacher hands. And then when I fix something, I have to watch my heart. And my heart that I have to watch is this. What is it that I love? What is it that I love and truly love? Where are my priorities and where do I spend my energy? What is it that I have to overcome? Every one of us and every one of you that have the name of Christ, that you name Christ, there's a different set of things that come your way. And folks, we're all faced in the same place. And in order for us to overcome, we, number one, we must realize that it's a real, the Lord Jesus is saying that to every church. And I want to say to you, those of you that are here and those of you that know the Lord Jesus, you cannot do it on your own. The enemy is real. The flesh is real. The world is real. Satan's real. The environment that we live in is real. Your families are real. Everybody that you deal with is all real. Everybody is real. And listen to me. You're joined to the Lord Jesus in the saving way. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ, from the love of God which is in Christ. Nothing. But you must persevere. And we need, I need to emphasize that again. That's the reason I'm preaching this sermon again. The tail end of it. We need each other. Make the Baptist Church not be known as a Sunday morning Baptist Church. But that Calvary Baptist Church is a church that, as the Lord has laid up on people's hearts to follow the Lord Jesus by faith, when that door is open, as it is possible for the people of the members of Calvary Baptist Church to say, we're going to gather with God's people. Why? Why? Sit down and let me tell you what happened to me this week. So how are you doing, brother? Oh, I'm doing just great. I'm just doing wonderful. Let's do lunch sometimes. Sit down. Let me tell you what's happening. All hell is breaking loose. I don't know how in the world I'm going to continue. Oh, come on, brother. We're here for you. Let's pray for one another. Let's encourage one another in the faith. Let's press on together as a team. Let's go that we might stand on that podium, that prize that the Lord Jesus had, because He's the one that has overcome. He's the one that's conquered it all. And it's because of our faith in Him that we have overcome. And we are going to be overcomers. And I want to say to you, Calvary Baptist Church, if you're not a part of the life of the church, I rebuke you and I shame you. Make the life of the church your life. Because there's a real enemy out here. And listen to me. And it's only those that endure to the end shall be saved. Y'all hear me? You say, Brother Bob, you're talking out of the two sides of your mouth. No, I'm not. The Lord Jesus is saying to every one of these churches, he that overcomes, I will I do this and I said why some of the Pentecostals and some of the denominations believe that, you know, once saved, yeah, oh, I don't know about that. You can be lost. They've taken passages like these and they've taken them literally and built up on them. I got news for you, we must build on both. All true believers shall endure to the end. I want to say, will you go with this happy band? Will you go with this band of those that realize that it's only the Lord Jesus and what He has accomplished for us as we keep Him in front of us? Have you all been watching some of the downhill skiing? Occasionally, there's been some slalom thing you couldn't see 6 feet in front of your eyes. But if they'd have had some kind of electronic thing in front of them that would just, you know, kind of, they would say, man, that's pretty easy to get on down through there. Let me tell you what the Lord Jesus said. Seeing, therefore, we're surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run Let us lay aside the sin that so easily besets us, and let us run the race with patience. And then he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The Lord Jesus is that one who has came and he blazed a path for us, and that path that at times is thrown with all kinds of obstacles, but he's blazed it for us and he said, you look to me and you follow me and you're going to get on to the end of that and you're going to receive that prize. And then we're going to sing. It's on my notes. And I had another song last night that I had to sing. Oh, that will be glory for me. When I shall look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, oh, that will be glory for me. Yeah. Friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, let's press on. And let's remember, all hell at times is broken loose, and at times our hearts are, our flesh is sticking up its ugly head, and we need to mortify sometimes the thinking of the world and Satan, all kinds of stuff in our way, that we say, wait a minute, we're going onward. We may have to step over some stuff and through some stuff and around some stuff, but I want to tell you, when we stand before the Lord, it's all going to be worth it. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. We bless and we thank you for your mercies that we find in the Lord Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, as we prayed and as David prayed in the beginning, that, oh, Holy Spirit, work in our hearts. And Lord, the faith that you've given us as a gift, and you've quickened us who were dead in trespasses and sin, that we realize and recognize what you've done for us. And Lord, that might be the fuel in the machinery that we would press on and continue until we see you face to face. Perhaps there are some here this morning who don't know you. Perhaps they have questions on how to be saved and are not sure whether they're saved. Lord, we pray that they might speak and inquire, and that we might sit down and spend time with them, open up the Word, that we might show them from the Scriptures what it is to be a Christian. Perhaps there are some here this morning who are desiring to be united with this church, and they're not sure whether they believe or whether they have followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Whatever it might be, Lord, we just look to you. We would ask, work as only you can. And we give all of the praise to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you?